Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Well, hello and welcome back. I am Chris. I'm the pastor at Compass. And as always, I'm so glad you're with me today. Because if you've been paying attention to the news, you are aware that illegal immigration is a hot political issue right now. There are those who believe that the United States is being overwhelmed with people who violated the law by coming here and are now a drain on our resources. And then there are those who strongly believe that people should have the freedom to flee the violence and oppression of their home countries to find better opportunities here, and that those people actually contribute to our society. Wherever you fall on that spectrum, these are complex and nuanced political issues. And they've elicited strong feelings from Americans, including American Christians. There's a lot of dispute within the church and among followers of Jesus about how illegal immigration should be dealt with. And so today, I want to put our political response aside. And I want to look at this from a biblical and theological perspective. I want us to ask the question, how would Jesus see and respond to the issue of illegal immigration that we are facing today? Now, I surprise you to find out that the Bible has a lot to say about the treatment of foreigners and immigrants, a whole lot. And I'm going to throw so much Bible at you, so buckle up. Exodus 22:21 says this, "You must not mistreat or oppress foreigners in any way." Deuteronomy 24:17, "True justice must be given to foreigners living among you and to orphans, and you must never accept a widow's garment as security for her debt." Jeremiah 22:3, "This is what the Lord says, be fair-minded and just, do what's right. Help those who've been robbed, rescue them from their oppressors. Quit your evil deeds, do not mistreat foreigners, orphans, and widows." Zechariah 7:9-10, it says, "This is what the Lord of heaven's army says, judge fairly and show mercy and kindness to one another. Do not oppress widows, orphans, foreigners, and the poor." I'm going to have a link to all of the Bible verses that we are looking at today in the notes, even ones that we can't fit. But there is one clear message here. Do not mistreat or oppress foreigners in any way. Love them as you love yourself. Rescue them from their oppressors. Show them mercy and kindness. Give them justice. And it's important here to understand what biblical justice actually is. Biblical justice is not legal. It's not punishment for crime. Biblical justice is caring for and elevating the oppressed and marginalized. And when God calls for justice for the foreigner, that's what he's talking about. But don't just take my word for it. Look at Leviticus chapter 23:32. "When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. Leave it for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God." Justice for foreigners and the poor is ensuring that those living among us are provided for, even if it comes at our own expense. Look at Leviticus chapter 25, verse 35. "If one of your fellow Israelites falls into poverty and cannot support himself, support him as you would a foreigner or temporary resident, and allow him to live with you. Do not charge interest or make a profit at his expense. Instead, show your fear of God by letting him live with you as your relative." God's talking to the people of Israel about how to care for and treat their own poor. And he says to treat them like they should treat foreigners, as if the default treatment of foreigners is to love them and care for them like family or relatives. Mercy, justice, care. And these aren't just things God commands us to do. It's what he does. Psalm 146:9 says, "The Lord protects the foreigners among us." Deuteronomy 10:17-19, "God ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. So you too must show love to foreigners. For you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt." We are called to love immigrants and foreigners like they are our own family, because that's what God does. But he doesn't just command this from his followers. He follows up and he calls them out when they don't do it. Malachi 3:5 It says, I will speak against those who cheat employees of their wages, who oppress widows and orphans, or who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice. For those people, do not fear me. Here God's calling out the oppressors, people who would oppress foreigners. And he says, people who deprive foreigners of justice, they don't fear me. They don't follow me. They are not my people. Ezekiel 22, 28 through 29. It says, and your prophets, they cover up for them by announcing false visions and making lying predictions. They say, my message is from the sovereign Lord, when the Lord hasn't spoken a single word to them. Even common people oppress the poor, rob the needy, and deprive foreigners of justice. Here, God is calling out the religious leaders who encourage and cover up the oppression of foreigners. He's saying, these people, they don't speak for me. Anyone who claims that they have visions and words for me that would oppress foreigners, they are liars. Psalm 94, 2 through 20 says, give the proud what they deserve. They crush your people, Lord, hurting those you claim as your own. They kill widows and foreigners and murder orphans. And then he asks this question, can unjust leaders claim that God is on their side? Leaders whose decrees permit injustice? Here God calls out leaders who promote policies that hurt immigrants. And he does it by asking a question. Can unjust leaders whose decrees permit injustice claim that God is on their side? And let me give you a hint. The answer is not yes. God will not and never will support those who encourage and permit injustice to foreigners. Rather, he actively stands against them. Check this out in Deuteronomy 27, 19. Cursed is anyone who denies justice to foreigners, orphans, or widows. Jeremiah 7, 5. But I will be merciful only if you stop your evil thoughts and deeds and start treating each other with justice. Only if you stop exploiting foreigners, orphans, and widows. Being unkind, merciless, and unjust toward foreigners, orphans, and widows, it comes with consequences, individually and corporately. Now, everything we've looked at so far, there are all these direct statements about the treatment of immigrants, but there's also a bigger story at play here. Look at this. At the beginning of the story of God's plan to restore and redeem humanity, he chose one man to do it through, Abraham. God told Abraham that he would make him the father of a great nation that would eventually bless all humankind. And you know what God did next? He told Abraham to pack up all he owned and be a migrant. God promised Abraham he would birth a nation, but then he led him to live as a nomad. Abraham wandered from one foreign land to another for his entire life until the day he died. The man God chose to enact his redemptive plan was an immigrant. And then Moses came along, and he led the people of Israel out of slavery. And guess what Moses was for his entire life? A migrant. He was a foreigner in Egypt who led the people of Israel through other foreign lands for 40 years. Moses was such a foreigner that he named his first son Gershom because that name sounds like a Hebrew word that means a foreigner there. But eventually the people of Israel finally took hold of the land of Canaan and its borders for themselves. But even then, they were only able to hold it for 400 years before they were taken into exile in Babylon, where once again, they were foreigners. Even when they were allowed to return to their homeland, it still wasn't theirs. It belonged to Persia, and then Greece, and then Rome. In the 2,000 years of Jewish history between Abraham and Jesus, the Israelites were foreigners and immigrants for 80% of that time. But then Jesus and everything changed, right? Nope. When Jesus was born, a rumor started to spread that a new king of Israel had arrived. And Herod, who was the current ruler, he didn't like that because a threatened new king was a threat to his regime. So look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. Mary and Joseph fled with Jesus to Egypt because the state was a threat to their safety. In fact, Herod had every little boy in the area of Jesus' birth under the age of 2 killed. Their flight to Egypt, it saved their lives. Egypt, where Jesus lived as a foreigner, an immigrant, and a refugee. Can I point something out from all of this? Of all the ways God could have enacted his story of redemption, he chose to do it through the lives of foreigners and immigrants, right from the beginning. Nearly every major character in Scripture was a foreigner, refugee, or exile at one point. The whole Bible story has a through line of foreigners and refugees who are led, loved, cared for, and used by God. And we are also part of that story. Look at 1 Peter 2:11. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. As followers of Jesus, we have been written into God's story. We too are foreigners living in a foreign land until the day when Jesus brings heaven and earth together. We stand at the end of a long line of foreigners and immigrants that God has written into his story. And we are called to live that story out by enacting Jesus' kingdom here on earth until his return. Leviticus 19:33 says, "Do not take advantage of foreigners who live among you in your land. Treat them like native-born Israelites and love them as you love yourself." Jesus' command to love our neighbors as ourselves, it didn't happen in a vacuum. It grew out of the scriptures that he studied and applied. And right from the beginning, love your neighbor was connected to the treatment of the foreigners among us. This love of others, it's at the heart of a story that God began with Abraham, perfected in Jesus, and is now telling through us. It's the story of God's kingdom lived out in our world. So with all of that, I've done my best to correctly show you the attitude of God towards foreigners and immigrants. But how does the attitude of American Christians line up with that? Well, according to studies done by the Public Religion Research Institute, and I'm going to put links to that in the notes as well, look at this. 73% of white evangelicals hold negative views towards immigrants. 65% of white evangelicals agree that immigrants threaten traditional American customs and values. 61% of white evangelicals agree that immigrants are invading our country and replacing our cultural and ethnic background. And finally, 74% of white evangelicals favor installing deterrents such as walls, floating barriers in rivers, and razor wire to prevent immigrants from entering our country illegally. And get this, even if those things endanger or kill some people. These stats may surprise you, but let me surprise you even more. White evangelicals are the highest number in every single one of those categories. There is no single demographic group that agreed with these statements more than the average white American Christian. This means that the group that champions the Bible more than any other is either unaware of what it teaches, is twisting it into pretzels to line up with their politics, or ignoring it completely altogether. That is, unless you think I'm wrong. But even if I am wrong about this entire theology of immigration, you could still probably ignore it all and just look at one thing Jesus said in Matthew 25, 42 through 45. He says, "For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me." The Greek word here for stranger is xenos. It means foreigner or other. And you might recognize it from the word xenophobia, which is the fear and rejection of others. One that is exhibited by many Christians who may be surprised at what they hear when they stand before Jesus. You can forget everything else I said and just take what Jesus says here as a complete Christian theology on the treatment of foreigners and undocumented immigrants. But even as I say all this, I recognize that the treatment of undocumented immigrants is complex and it's nuanced politically. Crime and violence and drugs, these are all things the state is attempting to deal with. And politically, that means that the good of migrants may sometimes need to be sacrificed for the good of the nation. But that shouldn't be our politics, because we are foreigners too. We are temporary residents in this world, and our values should always align first with God's. Our kingdom values should inform our political values, not the other way around. And to the extent we support state programs, it should always be because of our kingdom values. And when the priorities of the state come into conflict with the priorities of Jesus, we have a choice to make. And when that time comes, I would encourage you to remember the question asked in Psalm 94. Can unjust leaders claim that God is on their side? Leaders whose decrees permit injustice. So what do we do about this? How do we live it out? Well, first, check your heart. The reason that we're able to harbor attitudes that seem to be in direct contradiction to Jesus is because those attitudes just aren't rooted in Him. They're rooted in tradition or how we were raised or political ideology or xenophobia, the fear of people that aren't like us. The heart is a weird place. And when we confuse Jesus things for other things, it's easy to justify all kinds of things as good, even when they aren't. And when a majority of American Christians say that it's worth it for a few people to die or be injured by razor wire if it keeps undocumented immigrants out of our country, that tells me we have some heart problems. And like Ezekiel said, when that happens, even church leaders can fall prey to false visions and lying predictions without even realizing that God isn't speaking to them or to us at all. So check your heart and let God change it. Second thing we can do is simply apply the scriptures. Mercy, kindness, justice, care. We don't need to dig these things out of the depths of scriptures. It's right there on the surface. This is not some theology that's developed out of one or two cherry-picked scriptures. It's there from the beginning of God's story, from the beginning to the end. Followers of Jesus are to treat foreigners like they are native-born, to love them as we love ourselves, to care for them like they are family, and to find ways to deliver them mercy, kindness, and justice. And while this may be a complex and nuanced issue from a political standpoint, it's not from a Jesus standpoint. So let's seek justice and support policies that do the same. Let's ask God to align our hearts with His. And together, let's see the world change as we live like Jesus lived, think like He thought, and do what He taught. I hope you got something out of this. And I hope that after hearing it all, that I still get to see you next time.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.